This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. Found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. This is your host, Mark, and with me is...
Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And we've got from the Wart Cave Podcast, which you can find at TrustMeI'mAJedi...
Evil Dr. Tran.
The Evil Dr. Tran. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you haven't listened to Long's great podcast, The Warp Cave, go do so. You can find it at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. We are proudly hosting it along with our show, and it's friendly, not even competition. We just have fun doing this.
Yep.
And we're going to talk today. We're just going to get right into it. Big news came down yesterday from Sony and Marvel, and that is that Spider-Man is coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the implications of this are huge. I don't think people realize how big it is. And my first question to you all is, what was your first reaction when y'all saw this news?
Only if Sam Raimi directs it.
Now, I was pretty damn excited because, you know, I love the Avengers movie, but it just kind of felt empty without Spider-Man fighting. I mean, it's like not having Batman in Gotham if you're not going to have Spider-Man in New York fighting a major battle. It just felt empty in a sense. It's like the whole time I'm like, where's Spider-Man? Why wouldn't he be here fighting this battle? It makes no sense other than, you know, they didn't have the rights. It was about the only way.
My thoughts on it is since Marvel's going to help produce the next Spider-Man movie, I hope we're not going to have to sit through another origin story.
Well, that's something that I was going to question. And one of my questions was, well, should they reboot it? And my first reaction was kind of similar to Frank. It's like Spider-Man simply belongs in this universe that Marvel Studios has created. Spider-Man just feels like he belongs there. And I hope they go a little bit younger. I always felt... Matt mentioned the Sam Raimi films. I always felt Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were just a little too old for Spider-Man. True. And this kid should look like he's barely shaving, you know, and that's how Spider-Man starts. And there's rumors already today they're going to cast younger, and that's the way it should be. And so, but this is huge news, so my next question was, should they reboot it again?
No.
And, I had a thought that...
He's already an established character.
Well, yes.
We know his background origins, obviously told through two reboots.
Well, exactly.
You know?
And I had a thought that, you know, there apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, even though Marvel and Sony have confirmed this, that he's going to appear in Captain America Civil War, which is great. But do the Incredible Hulk route when they rebooted with Edward Norton.
Good example. His
origin and flashbacks in the credits. You know? I think that's a great way to go into the next Spider-Man film that's going to come out in 2017, I think.
And then you create a movie that can stand alone as its own and as a sequel.
And work him into the cinematic
universe. Yeah.
And, you know, there's some of the names that are popping around of the young actors. I haven't heard of them, but I think that's the right route to go, too, don't you? The younger, high school-looking actor.
Yeah, somebody, I mean, not necessarily somebody that's 15 young, because I don't want some kid, you know, hired from Nickelodeon or Disney Channel cast members. I want a fresh face or somebody that at least can prove they can act. You know, I don't need some little pop star from, you know, the Disney Channel.
Well, I don't think Marvel generally does that.
Become the new Spider-Man. Well, you know, it's part of the whole Disney family. So I could see them easily trying to cast somebody from the Disney Channel.
Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yeah, exactly.
God help us. God help us if they do that.
Well, Long, I know we were texting yesterday, and you didn't buy into the reboot Kool-Aid, as you called it, so you haven't watched the Mark Webb Spider-Man films.
No.
And while I did like the first one...
You know how I was kind of a hater on...
I did like the first one. I didn't think the second one was as good.
That's what I heard.
And
I think that's what killed it.
I liked the costume, and I liked Andrew Garfield in the role, and Emma Stone's absolutely adorable as Gwen Stacy.
Oh, yeah.
What are your feelings on how they should reboot it and bring Spider-Man to the universe?
I think they should just, every everybody knows who Spider-Man is by now, and I don't even think they need even need to mention an origin. It's like, hey, I'm Spider-Man. It's like, cool, all right, let's go to the plot, you know?
That's exactly. It. That's know, how I just, feel. I don't need the whole, oh, I got bit by a spider and all this all over again. We know. If you've been living under a rock, you need to be bitten by a spider.
Oh, and I heard that, you know, it's kind of a tangent, but you know that Batman versus Superman movie coming up next year? They actually cast someone to do, they're filming Bruce Wayne's origin a little bit. They're going to, it's like, again, you know, Batman Forever did that, and now Batman Begins did that, and, you know, the first Batman did that, and it was like, we know about the whole...
We know where they come from.
So, right. And Spider-Man, it's such a recent release, the first Amazing Spider-Man. I think the public knows all about it by now, so...
I just think if a character has been put on the screen in the last 15 years, we do not need an origin story from them if they've already been on the screen in the last 15 years.
And I totally agree with you guys. And my only thought is, how do you... Maybe another question is, how do you work him into this universe? Because if Spider-Man is apparently suddenly part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where was he when a city was getting invaded in the Avengers? Where was he when S.H.I.E.L.D. was going down? And all of a sudden, he just pops up. So
I bet you
I'm sure the writers are smarter than us to explain that.
How about this? How about he had his own fight going on? I mean, he has enough of his own enemies. This whole thing started up at the same time. And he's fighting a big battle on the other side of New York.
And it's good you mentioned that, because my idea was to make the Spider-Man films coming out in 2017 a prequel to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They might do something that's actually very off the beaten path that no one would ever think of doing. And I'd say the next Avengers movie, after that, they'll film like a scene of a kid getting bitten by a spider. Post-credits. Ooh. And then everyone's be like, ooh.
And that leads into the Spider-Man
movie. That leads into the Spider-Man movie. That's the best way I can do it.
Yeah, just do it quick.
It happened. Quick, boom, let's do it.
Well, and that comes to kind of the next questions, are how you work him in leads to the implications of what this means for the Marvel Cinematic Universe with all the films that are coming out with Captain Marvel and Black Panther. The Infinity War, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, because it's well known that Spider-Man has teamed up with Guardians of the Galaxy before.
It's simple. You just write them in. I mean, I'm sure they haven't gone 100% with all the scripts.
Well,
that there's not spaces that they can't implement them into or write them in.
And I think it's funny that when this article came down yesterday, it said that Sony was sharing the rights to
Spider-Man. And they have creative control,
but
too,
let's
which
face
concerns
it.
Me.
Who's running this? I think Marvel Studios is going to be one that's really going to tell Sony, look, no, this is what we're doing. You just get to distribute and pay for it.
Yeah, it's like basically you sit back and rake some money from the awesomeness that we're going to do with Spider-Man.
Very similar to the deal they have with Lucasfilm. On the opposite end of that, Disney owns Lucas now, but Lucasfilm's really running it over there. Everyone knows Kathleen Kennedy,
just
producer
like
of Lucasfilm, is running the new Star Wars films and whatever else happens. Disney just simply owns it by name now.
Yeah. Basically, Disney's the head mafia boss, and he's just bringing in all these other cartels.
But, let's not forget about Pixar. I mean, they've been able to create their own movies for a very long time. So,
I mean, I'm sure Disney goes in and says, you know, we just don't want you to do this, this, and this to get off, you know,
set
the Disney
ground,
brand.
Some guidelines,
for this stuff. This is what, you know, your target audience that we want you to aim towards, and don't veer off of it if you could.
Yeah, and let's not forget that who's in charge of Disney animation is John Lasseter, the guy who created Pixar. So Pixar is safe.
It's in.
And with the Spider-Man news, a big one I think is, you know, I know Matt's excited because Spidey might appear in Civil War, Captain America, and so is Iron Man, which is Matt's favorite characters. And in the comic storyline, Spider-Man was very important to the Civil War storyline. He was the conscience that tried to keep Iron Man and Cap from fighting. And that's pretty exciting that he may appear in the next Captain America film, because
kind of a referee.
So far in the Marvel Universe, as much as I loved Guardians of the Galaxy, the two Captain America films are kind of my personal favorite movies so far.
They're well put together.
Yeah, I love the adventure story of the first one, the Indiana Jones vibe, and then I love the second one, just the 1970-ish style spy thriller plot. You know, I've really liked the Captain America films. So if they truly are going to introduce him in Civil War next year, that's pretty exciting, huh?
It is. I mean, I see you know, it'd be cool to see Spidey, like, trying to break up a fight between Iron Man and Captain America.
Especially the little scrawny little 16-year-old kid. Yes. He's got spider strength.
Very, very strong, scrawny little 16-year-old
kid. He'd go toe-to-toe with Captain America if he had to, but, you know, I think he's going to have to focus more on restraining Iron Man. And I know this is, like, a different cinematic universe, but he was given an iron spider suit from Tony Stark. So I wonder if we're going to see some cool gadgets, some Iron Spider stuff. Well, of course,
because I'm sorry, right after it was announced, everybody was screaming, you know, Iron Spidey. So
heck yeah.
Yep. The first time I saw the artwork for that costume, like, way back when, I was just like, that is the most awesome thing I've seen, you know.
And
I wanted a toy of it, you know, just, you know, back in the day. Nowadays, the toys, that would be pretty kick butt.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a rumor going on that Black Panther was created to kind of fill in the role for Spider-Man if they couldn't get Spider-Man in it. So now Black Panther and Captain Marvel were pushed a little bit slightly a few months back.
They shifted their film releases.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. So I was just thinking, man, so what? Where does that leave Black Panther? I don't know anything about Black Panther personally.
I want Black Panther to come because I think that he'll bring a strong role.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a good character and everything. So, I mean, of course, we'll get the origins of him, which will, you know, hopefully they won't screw that up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and try to rechange stuff on him.
Well, Marvel's been pretty good so far with their films, is keeping the origins pretty faithful to what they are in the comics.
Yeah, just like X-Men.
Yeah. Well, X-Men.
I just hope by now, by the time they start shooting, they start, even if it's not going to get X-Men back,
mm-hmm.
some of the other ones, you know, try to get maybe the lesser film characters, you know, Punisher, Ghost Rider, all of these guys, get control back of them, write them in, maybe not as big major characters, but, you know, it's just something that they're in the film, well, they fighting actually, in the background.
Whenever they got the Daredevil rights, they got the Punisher rights back, so they actually had
them. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's cool.
The only thing they don't own now, really, is the X-Men franchise and Fantastic Four, which brings me to my next kind of roundtable question I had was, as much as I have enjoyed the X-Men films for the most part, we won't talk about origins, but I, you know, you see what DC is doing over at Warner Brothers, and obviously they're in the very infant stage of creating their universe, but the idea of Green Lantern and the Flash and all these is very exciting, and it makes you wish that Marvel did own all their characters, because it's like, you want to see the Wolverine fighting next to Spider-Man and Captain America. You want to see the Thing clobbering with the Hulk. And and maybe this deal with Sony leads to... Now, Fox is pretty adamant about not ever doing this. But it makes you kind of wish, as a fanboy, that we could get Marvel all under one umbrella, like DC.
Did y'all see the trailer to the Fantastic Four?
That's what I said. I think it's going to be even worse.
Yeah, I mean, two. I saw it. I didn't get enough from that teaser trailer to really judge it.
The trailer might be better than the movie.
The sci-fi aspect. The sci-fi. I'm not so sure about the sci-fi realistic aspect of it they seem to take, but it's really hard to judge. That trailer almost showed nothing.
Yeah.
No.
You know, there's something worse when I read about the whole. Besides that, when I was reading Dr. Doom's bio for the movie,
that's what bothers me the most.
He's like an internet hacker.
Yeah,
so he's gonna look like a freaking hipster.
That's what he's not. Oh, he's not like, ruthless dictator.
He looks like Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs' evil son or something like that.
Yeah, that's like, definitely not gonna see that movie.
Yeah.
And my only other beef is the youngness of Reed and Sue. They always were supposed to be a little bit older than Johnny and Ben because they're like the parents and the conscious. The older, you know, right. Sue's his older sister. And now they're like all look like they're 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that part, you know.
Dr. Doom is that guy from Divergent, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was in Divergent.
Divergent? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Another, what, teen kill each other movie?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Most of those characters.
I kind of wanted another kind of speculative news. It's kind of related to Disney and Star Wars. It's that J.J. Abrams, off the record, wanted to push the release date of Star Wars to, I don't know, but he says he didn't want to leave it at December anymore, because it's just way too much speculation, too many leaks, and he wants to get the movie out quicker to stamp out any of those rumors.
I had read a little bit about that, but no one really picked up on the news story. You know, I was looking around, and I did see a couple of sites.
It could be one of those fake Facebook news.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Leaks are not... If we had the whole entire script in our hand, read the thing from front to back, are we still not going to put our butts in the seats at the theater?
You know, I'm going to watch it regardless.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I think as part of his JJ is just very, very secretive. I mean, the
worst kept secret of Star Trek.
Well, but to his credit, though, it didn't officially leak out until about 2 weeks before the film hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was all kinds of speculation, and then 2 weeks before the film, it was suddenly confirmed that it was Khan, and it was on an accidental press release that they did it. You know, that it came out, and they mentioned the word Khan in there. And Super 8, he kept Super 8 very secretive until the film came out that it was about an alien, and you know.
I thought the movie was solid, but not anything too memorable.
Yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed the things that Abrams done, and I had heard that, and I mean, what do you move it up to? A Thanksgiving release? You move it up a month, maybe? I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, is it really matter? You know,
shouldn't it just December? Be released on May 4th?
I don't think the film's going to be ready in 3 months. It's still filming, and then they've got post-production. I think principal photography is done. I think they're still doing secondary photography and stuff, and I'm sure they'll do reshoots, which people used to think reshoots meant the film had problems, but not really. Nowadays, sometimes they go to look at the actual film, and the angle didn't come out right, and like, oh, we got to go fix that.
Or this shot doesn't flow with this shot, so we have to...
Did you guys ever get a chance to talk about Jurassic Park or Jurassic World?
We've talked a little bit about it in our 2015 semi-preview.
Did y'all see the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, where's Star-Lord's Walkman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I slept through the second half, so if it came through the second half of the game, I woke up for like last few minutes of the game.
It started near the beginning of the game.
I think I kind of dozed off.
Yeah,
that
it
too.
Was like the first commercial break. But yeah.
They were showing the raptors being tamed a bit by Chris Pratt's character.
Yeah.
And then they were showing bits of the main villain dinosaur.
Yeah.
The plot of it is that they're going to try to use all their resources to try to stop this one super smart, you know, dinosaur. So they're going to use T-Rexes and raptors and everything to try to stop it. So I was like, ooh, you know? And in relation to that, I saw a teaser for Lego Jurassic Park, and I was like, oh!
Does this mean we might get a new Rage video game?
A Rage video game. Oh,
Primal Rage.
Actually, no, you're not too far off the mark, because the last game developers convention, they showed some footage of like a pre-alpha of Primal Rage.
I think if we see a big bunch of dinosaurs fighting in a movie, people are going to be like, now I want to play it as a video game.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to Primal Rage.
Well, Jurassic World is another one of those that I think is, people are like, oh, do we need another one?
But we don't have to wait too long for that.
But I think everyone's going to go see it. I think it's going to be one of the bigger films of the summer.
We've been waiting for this forever.
I don't think it's necessarily, do we need another one? It's kind of like,
yeah,
it's been a period of time. Now you could take the people that saw the first ones, probably have kids now that are old enough that they could take to see giant dinosaurs on the big screen.
And I'm okay with them doing sequels to films that had a movie 10 years ago. I'm getting a little tired of these sequels that they're doing where the movie's been out for 30 years already. They're trying to capture magic again, and it just doesn't seem to
Speaking of work which, right. Did you hear about, or did you see the Poltergeist trailer?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I kind of pathetically laughed at it. Like, really?
I don't know.
Mark's not big into horror movies to begin with.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
That
was the first ever horror movie I ever watched.
Well, I think for a lot of people. Yeah,
my friend would not eat chicken for a long time. Yeah.
The tree being outside the window.
The tree was the scariest scene.
Yeah, you don't want trees outside your window when you were a kid.
I didn't see the clown part when I was a kid.
The clown part? Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah, was there a clown in the original?
Yes. I guess I don't remember. To begin with, you hated them even more now.
They move the headstones.
Yeah, we talked earlier about not always drinking the reboot Kool-Aid, and that's my one thing with horror films. Like, I haven't liked any of them. I semi a little bit liked A Nightmare on Elm Street, only because of Jackie Earle Haley's performance in it. That's Freddy Krueger.
But
otherwise, all these horror remakes, like The Evil Dead, was nothing but have a lot of blood in it. Yeah. It didn't have the charm of the Sam Raimi film.
Also?
No, it was R.
Yeah, it was R.
Was it? Okay.
Well, they redid the forest scene.
You know, if you're gonna do,
everyone knows that.
The tree scene.
Yes, that frisky little tree.
It's just
I like this. If you're gonna redo a movie, especially one that came out in the '80s. I can understand because the graphics and everything have gotten way better. So you grow, especially if you're a young director, or even in your 30s or whatever, and you grew up with these movies, and you sit there and you're watching them, and I'm like, oh, I would like to do that scene, but redo it like this, and oh, I could do that scene like this, and then that's something you're passionate about. But for them just to here's a franchise, let's see what we can make money off of it.
Well,
they have no thought in the script and no thought in the direction, and just hand it off to somebody that's like, I've never seen these movies, but sure, I'll make it because it'll get my foot in the door. That's what I don't like.
Evil Dead was rejected 3 times in America, and it wasn't until that he brought it to Sweden, I believe. Sam Raimi brought it to Sweden, and he entered it in a film festival over there, and it was a big hit. America finally brought it.
I mean, let's be honest. For a long time, the movie theater, the movie companies, they really don't have a good connection with the audience. They really don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all up in there in the whole L.A.
I think I disagree with some of that, though. I think the younger directors like Zack Snyder and...
Well, I mean the older...
But a lot of the older guys aren't doing these movies. You're getting... Most of these directors are doing these remakes are between 30 and 25 and 40, and they're our age group, and they read the internet, and they keep up with things.
No, I'm talking about the older crowd, like when he was saying that it didn't... They weren't in touch with the audience.
Back then, now, it was different, though. Yeah.
Nowadays, I think it's the millennials that are taking over the decision making, so they're making things worse. Like some of the fresh college graduates who go in there, they want to make just X amount of money in short amount of time. That's why you notice that a lot of movies don't stay out very long like they used to back in the day. Back in the day, it's like 6 weeks average for a movie to be out. Now it's 2 weeks.
It would take a year before you can rent on video.
Now it's two or 3 weeks for them to be out. That's just ridiculous.
You can already download Big Hero 6.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
These digital downloads and stuff. And I'm not...
I haven't even seen that.
I'm not against reboots at all. I mean, there are some I liked. I might be in the minority, but I liked the RoboCop remake. I didn't hate it. I think there's a place for the 1987 Gore Fest, and there's a place for the new one.
Out of curiosity... who didn't like it here?
I liked it.
I liked it.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
You
didn't see it? Nah. Dead or Alive, You're Coming.
And
PG-13, sorry. That's
come on.
No, I'm joking.
And but I
there's a high PG-13. It's like PG almost 14.
I'll watch it for Michael Keaton.
If Hollywood is going to continue to reboot and reimagine, which I don't see them not, they're going to continue to do it. I prefer the reimagining route they took with the Planet of the Apes films.
Good example.
I prefer that route if they're going to continue to do these. And that's my problem with the horror films is they're not reimagining them. They're just basically the same thing you already saw back in 1982.
Just more corn syrup. Red corn syrup.
A little more blood and corn syrup.
Yes.
But watching the new ones, I can be all like, oh, that looks cool with all the, digital animation and all that. But then when I go back and watch the older ones, I can appreciate the craftsmanship and work that was put into the makeup of these older movies. It might be like night and day, but you can appreciate it.
That's what has me excited for the new Star Wars movie. Because J.J. Abrams is pretty adamant about having more practical effects versus
CGI. See, I love practical effects. I love CGI, but I love practical effects. Yeah. So that's why I like the original Star Wars unchanged, un-CGI'd. I love my puppet work.
We get into the argument of special editions. That's a whole another hour. Yeah.
That ball droid is practical.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Mark Hamill says that he was playing around with it on the set.
People need to understand, I'm a huge Jim Henson fan.
Yeah.
I love my puppet work.
Dark Crystal.
Matt, are you even old enough to have seen the Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Dark Crystal.
I had a crush on the blonde elf chick when I was a kid.
You what?
Yeah, I did.
But my mom was handicapped.
That's a little stranger.
My mom was
a kid. I didn't know.
No, my mom was handicapped, so I would take her crutches.
Yeah.
And I would walk around like a big creature and be like, run with the You know, that once they rode on, because that's what it was. They were like in steel crutches.
And what are you doing with my walking, Frank?
No, remember the big long arm things that they were riding
Yes. The big cramps, yeah.
I think you're safe, Matt. We just got a new running joke with Frank on crutches.
Yes, Frank on crutches, rowing.
You and Chris Evans can have y'all's own moments again.
That's right.
No, you just put about it. You could, like, because they're, like, still, so you could lift up on them.
It's that voodoo that you do, sir.
A different movie. Same thing.
It's the fire demons there. He says that voodoo that you do.
That was Labyrinth.
Yeah, Labyrinth. I'm trying. Dark Crystal. I'm bridging the gap, sir.
Okay. Well, that's all part of the same thing.
Labyrinth is a good one.
We'll give it to you. Come on. The girl. That's who I had.
Jennifer Connelly?
Yes, I've had a crush on her ever since.
And then you see her in Requiem for a Dream, and it totally changes the way you look at her.
No, I still have a crush on her, and I will always have a crush on her. She could be an 80-year-old woman, and I'm like, it's like, I'll still have a crush on her. It's like.
Just like Stevie Nicks.
You know?
She's still got it.
Yeah, she does. She's pretty hot. Yeah. Fleetwood Mac, going to that Nicks.
That's right.
Oh, right. That's that segment.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zapsik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
So, Long, we're really glad you were able to come on this episode today. And recently, you started podcasting yourself, and The Warp Cave is you're a geek show along with your
right.
What's the name? Salvo Pod. The Salvo
it's,
Cast.
It's called the Steel Salvo Cast.
That's right.
But it's for a very specific audience of gamers who and, like to play World of Warships, which is coming out later on.
So we've me and you being friends for a while, I offered to host it on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, and couldn't be prouder to have you on there.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to give you a moment just to tell the Rebel Radio podcast listeners about the Warp Cave, and I will say go listen to episode 3 of the Warp Cave because Mark is on it.
Yeah, Mark is on the Warp Cave, which I really appreciate. We were talking about our top 5 movies of 2014, and really the Warp Cave, it's just a smorgasbord of geek pop culture, nothing too specific. Like, you know, I don't want to stick with just games or with just movies, and I'll even get into pro wrestling too because I'm like to keep up with some of that. So did you guys watch the Royal Rumble?
No,
that's
I don't. I don't have the WWE Network.
I have the WWE Network, and I've been a wrestling fan for a while too.
Well, a little thing about our host, him and I used to watch pay per views all the time.
Yeah. I never hung out with you.
Oh, please. You and another coworker of ours used to go to your house and watch pay-per-view.
Drop, we got Frank started on wrestling.
$60. And now that he doesn't watch it as much anymore, I still watch Monday Night Raw and and SmackDown. Well,
you can
stuff.
Get the WWE Network for what?
$9.99. Yeah. they'll appreciate that plug.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, and now that we can get this for like $10 a butt. I don't have nobody to watch wrestling.
Right. Well, I'll probably have Frank come onto my show, and we'll do like a running commentary on like a pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. Wait, time out. Are you sure? Because Mark has a tape of us, and my commentary sucks.
It's going to be a reactionary commentary.
Okay.
And I don't want to be like a smart Mark type of a commentary either. It's like, oh, what happened in the background? Yeah, those two hate each other in backstage. No, I'm not going to get into that. It's like, or we'll just talk about, okay, that doesn't make sense. That's a cool move.
Well, the last time WrestleMania, the time before that when it was actually at the Astrodome, we went to the whole fan thing, and they had that whole, hey, watch a show and match and record your commentary.
Yeah, but but I didn't mean to segue into pro wrestling. But as far as the Warp Cave, I'll do reviews, retro reviews as well, and I'm going to do fan commentaries on movies, on classic movies, and I'm due to do a review for John Wick and Gone Girl. And
yes,
and
that kept me up.
One thing I think that the listeners don't know is the Warp Cave and Rebel Radio Podcast, we're very grassroots style. We do this because we love to do it, and we appreciate all the support, and you know, and Long just put up some great podcasts for on the Warp Cave that he was able to go to PAX South, listen to that stuff. It's awesome. And I think you still got one more episode of PAX South stuff coming up here soon.
Yep.
And that will all be up at TrustMeOnAJedi.com. So the evil Dr. Tran, the host of the Warp Cave, here hanging out with the Rebel Radio podcast crew today. Go listen to his show, folks. It's pretty cool.
And the last episode of the Penny Arcade series, it's going to be all about Freeze Pop. It's a synth pop rock band that has music in Guitar Hero 1, 2, and Rock Bands 1, 2, and 3, and Amplitude. Some people are not familiar with it, but hopefully, with a couple of song selections on that episode, with special permission from the band, that I'm going to be able to play all the a lot of the selections in their entirety. So I hope you guys enjoy that episode coming up, hopefully this week.
All right, very cool. Check it out. Warp Cave. Found at TrustMeOnAJedi.com.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
So, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeOnAJedi.com, and The Walking Dead came back this week after its holiday hiatus with its mid-season premiere, and to get viewers caught up and listeners be warned, this is obviously going to have spoilers in it.
Spoiler alert.
We ended in November, or late November, with the death of Beth, a shocking death in the episode, and I think... people expected this episode to be kind of somber, and it starts out this past Sunday nights with flashbacks of a funeral. You're assuming it's Beth's, and very artistically done, kind of different, kind of eerie for The Walking Dead, because that's one thing The Walking Dead hasn't done. At times it'll play up the horror element, but at other times it's more about the human element of being in this apocalyptic universe. And as the episode unfolded, we got possibly an even more shocking episode than the death of Beth. And, of course, that's the death of Tyrese in this episode.
No kidding.
And most of the time, The Walking Dead's deaths are extremely violent, extremely quick. And in this one, Tyrese is bit early in the episode, and we watch him come to grips with this world as he fades away. And it was sad. It was unexpected, because you thought they would give the viewers a little bit of time to get over what happened on the last episode, but no, they hit us in the gut with death of a popular character who, obviously the show is different than the comics, but they use the comics as a guideline. In the comics, Tyrese is actually killed at the prison. He's the one who is beheaded by the governor, not Herschel. So in the comics, he was already long gone, but they left him around for a little while longer because Chad Coleman is such an excellent actor and was kind of the... You start to learn in The Walking Dead, you can't have a conscience because you don't last.
Yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody today about that. You know,
and he Tyrese had recently become the conscience of the group after Carol had to shoot the little girl, and then he did not take care of the guy who was with Gareth and the cannibals, and he regretted it later because the cannibals, of course, came after Bob, and he was. His conscience was getting the best of him, and he got comfortable, and in this episode he paid the ultimate price.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I kind of expected when they came back that it was going to be more of a like a mourning episode for Beth, especially at the beginning, like you think it's her grave that they dug and they were burying her, and there was going to be like, oh, my sister, boo-hoo, so many people we've lost, what are we going to do now? The whole boom, you know, a big character like that, it's just like gone. It
was, and in the comics, man, he was awesome. He killed with a hammer, and he was a great character to lose.
Like. Yeah, it was fantastically directed too. I think the Walking Dead genre shows don't get enough respect in the Emmy Awards and stuff like that. Not that any of us care about awards or the shows, but it was maybe one of the best directed episodes of the show ever. The fact that the way it did play out, like you said at the beginning, we thought we were going to get a somber boohoo episode. We weren't sure what was going on. Mm-hmm. And this plays out, the whole puzzle of the montage at the beginning comes together.
Yeah.
And expertly done by Greg Nicotero, who is the one of the lead makeup artists, and he helped Scott Gimple run the show, actually directed this episode. Yeah. And I thought he did an excellent job. And it's like, where do you, the show one thing I love about it is because I've read the books, I'm not totally caught up. I'm a few issues behind, but that it is different than the comics. So even it keeps me guessing as to what's going to happen. And now even I'm like, what happens next?
Yeah.
And
I know one thing you don't do. Don't follow Rick. I mean, I like the character, but he gets people around him killed. It was his. If you look at a lot of his decisions, is what gets those around him killed. I mean, he was the one that made the decision in this episode to go to the town, the fenced-in community, reunite the guy with his family because that's what Beth wanted, and then maybe as a kind of a place for them to settle down for a while. But it was still his decision. He could have just said, no, we're moving on. We're not going there. And if they would have never went there, then Tyrese probably would have not at least gotten bitten at this point in time. Well,
maybe, but in that being said, you got to think about what happens in the episode. Yeah, Rick is the leader, and people tend to follow him, and he's going with what he thinks is right. But the flashbacks is Tyrese was watching Bob and Beth and the bad guy and Governor and all them appear to him. That was the point of the episode. It doesn't matter what they did. It's all going to happen because it's going to happen.
Right.
And they were trying to help Tyrese come to terms with himself that it was okay, that it wasn't his fault. Because I think Tyrese carried with him that things that happened were his fault. And
like being friends with the governor, not killing the bad guy that led him to Bob being killed.
And I think that's
what it
was.
And then the girls.
These people that have gone before him are appearing to him, letting him know it's okay, it's not your fault. And they gave us a glimmer of hope in a very shocking moment where they lop his arm off, and you think, okay, maybe he's going to be like Herschel. He's going to make it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
when they pull over, you're like,
he unfortunately doesn't make it. And
I knew he wasn't going to make it. Once he started seeing the faces of all the other characters in the vehicle telling him that it was okay.
Yeah, this isn't the Sixth Sense. And if you're seeing dead people, then, you don't
you're
have
to. You're probably dead yourself, at this point.
It's a good point. Yeah. And but it was another shocking episode. The show seems to, not that it's ever been a happy show, but it seems to have this season definitely taken a darker tone, even from last year with the governor.
I'm thinking we're losing two more people.
But it's been an amazing season. I think it's been possibly the best season they've had so far in some ways. And I look forward to where it goes, and we've got seven more episodes this season, so a lot can happen.
Yeah, I mean, right now, somebody pointed out to me that right now we have too big of a group. So I can see we can lose probably another main character. I could probably... with Carol, she could probably wind up being...
Well, she's another character that in the comics is not even there anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I think she came back... Probably she agreed to come back for one more season, so we could see her gone. And then probably either...
Glenn.
No, not Glenn now.
Yeah, I say Glenn.
The only reason I don't think they'll do Glenn yet is because they've done this a little different than the comics. In the comics, this is where Glenn is not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I think because Maggie has lost so much, I just don't see them doing that yet. I think Glenn will get his, but I think it's going to be next year. I just don't see it happening yet. To me, the characters that are no longer needed are Shasha, Tyrese's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Really, her storyline at this point, what else is she there for?
Chick that joined them after the whole prison scene? And the chick that's the military chick.
No, she'll be around because let me tell you, reading the books, Abraham, Rosarita, and Eugene become very important. So I think they'll be around for a while. Eventually, Abraham meets his demise in the comics, but he goes out a hero. Rosarita is still around, and so Eugene actually will have a purpose later if they use his story from the books. Turns out he may have lied, but he's smarter than he looks. He ends up becoming very useful later on.
Or they could just totally throw us for a loop, and it could be Glenn and because Glenn will go get killed, and then she'll go off the deep end because she's now lost everybody that she's cared about, and she could just go off the deep end.
Maybe. Like Rick in season two.
I'd be shocked. I really think right now in the show, I think the untouchable characters are Rick, Glenn, Maggie, and We just said his... Oh, Abraham. I think he'll be around.
Well, I'm sorry. And the fan base.
And Daryl.
You're not going to touch Daryl. I think if you kill Daryl and Rick, literally the fan base will revolt and just quit watching the show.
I think those five and Carl, those six characters, I think, right now are untouchable for a while. Mm-hmm. And but it's The Walking Dead. Anything can happen.
Honestly, I see at the end of it, I see it being Carl and the baby at the end. With him and holding the hand of his little sister, and then finding the cure or something or whatever. But at the very last episode, it just him and his little girl, as an older kid and a little girl.
Only Robert Kirkman knows how it's true. Well, yeah, and you know he's got it in his head somewhere, writing his comics how it's going to end. But overall, very good episode, and that was The Walking Dead this past Sunday, and
totally caught me off guard.
You know, we I don't have anything else to say about The Walking Dead.
Not as of today.
And I just hope, like, it's a little happier this week.
Not The Walking Dead.
Probably not.
It's The Walking Dead.
Oh, did you know, there's one thing I do want to say about, like, I was reading a line about the mention of wolves in the show.
The new episode?
No, in the background it says wolves around or something like that in the back, and then there's apparently, like, a wolf on the wall, and apparently there's, like, a lot of foreshadowing, and then, of course, next week's episode looks like they're finding some wolves. So that'd be interesting to see what happens. Because you often wonder about the wildlife.
Walker wolves.
Like, they've go through this, and they don't. You never mention the wildlife or anything.
Well, see, my this morning, my cousin and I, we were talking about that, the fact that the wolves aren't there, and it was like, even not just wolves, but like, what would happen to domesticated animals, our dogs and all that, you know, your average dogs, they would go back to their natural wolf-like state, wolf-coyote state of mind, without us here feeding them and... You know, disciplining them and all that, they would probably go right back to. I mean, what was it?
Is that
I was
what
like,
happens to you, Frank, when you go home? No, go back like, to your original state of.
No, I was watching a video of where the cats in this neighborhood have gotten out of control to where, like, basically they've gone back to their ancestors' predator life. I mean, it's like literally a household sized cat, maybe a little bit bigger than, but not a wild cat in the sense, chasing. Big dogs like golden retrievers down the street, like they were hunting, you know, like a lion hunting a wildebeest of some kind.
And this has been the nightly news with Frank T. Biscuit.
You stay classy, San Diego.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
All right. Well, this has been another awesome episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. At TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And before we go, I want to mention we just started a new feature on the website today, even if you don't hear this till tomorrow. But yeah, that makes sense. Called We Got You Covered, where every week it's just a simple weekly feature. We're going to feature our favorite comic book covers. It'll be written by the staff members of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And we encourage listeners, visitors to the site, to email us at TrustMeI'mAJedi2009@gmail.com, which you can find on the site. Your favorite covers with a blurb, and we will feature them at some point in this new weekly feature. We hope some people participate in that. And so, you know, that's our latest thing with the website. Of course, the Rebel Radio YouTube promos are still there. We're going to do some more for you people in April, probably. We really appreciate the support. Those took off really well on YouTube, and we thank you for that. And most of all, I want to thank Long from the Warp Cave for coming on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And he's a guest, but he's not just a guest because he is part of the TrustMeI'mAJedi.com team in his own way because he's a fellow geek.
Yep.
And
thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And we will do it again soon. We were just talking during one of our breaks of doing a crossover podcast, so maybe you guys can listen for that coming up here in the springtime, hopefully. And without further ado... This has been the Rebel Radio Podcast with
Frank T. Biscuit,
Matt the Electric Monkey,
and Evil Dr. Tran.
And your host, Mark. Keep it classy, people.
San Diego.
We don't, but we don't live in San Diego.
Keep it classy, world.